Tom Gazzola joined us. Now, Tom, before we get to, I want you to listen to this clip, and I'm curious if you've had something similar occur to you.
Our first question will be from Ryan Chirag.
That's supposed to be Ryan Rashog, but somehow it's Chirag. Like, that's a pretty good butchering.
Well, that was that's a whole new level of butchery, that's for sure, Gregor. I mean, we're listening to that on the post game show last night, and Hernan in my ear just goes, "Hey, you got to hear this guy say Rashog's name." And he goes, "Who's doing the post game stuff?" And I'm like, "It's got to be the crew from the league, and they don't know all of the media, and the majority of the crew from the league is from the east side of this continent. So, you know, maybe they're not that familiar with our good friend Ryan Rashog, and they misread it as Chirag. But I've gotten Gonzalez, Gazzola, Gazzello. It's funny. I'm like, nice. I'm there's no N in there, and there's no Z at the end, but to each their own. Sometimes people jumble up letters and they make their own names up. So we Ryan Chirag last night. I'm jealous that Ryan Chirag doesn't follow me yet on Twitter. I see that he has an account now.
Oh, yeah, Twitter never disappoints, man.
No.
The first tweet from the Ryan Chirag account was, "I'm kind of a big deal. People know me." It's fitting. It's perfect.
You know Shogger's going to be upset when he sees that, too.
Oh, yeah. He'll probably laugh. Well, he'll have no other choice at this point because, so here's my last one, then we'll get to the orders. Next Tuesday, our good friend Dustin Nielsen returns. I'm setting the over-under at 14 on how many times he plays that clip on the first day back.
You know Eric's going to have it in the intro, too. Guaranteed. And I know that they're buddies now, formally, and they've gone through that and patched things up, and they've gone from colleagues to buddies. And 14 is probably a modest estimate, Greg's, and I'm going to take the over on that one.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Taking the over. I like it.
Yep.
If I would have told you Mikko Koskinen was starting last night, what would your – because I'll be honest, that to me was maybe the biggest surprise of anything. I don't know why. I thought for sure it was going to be Mike Smith. And there it was, Mikko Koskinen. Koskinen looked good in his they both looked good, but Koskinen, of course, was perfect. Stopped all 17.
Yeah, and I would have been surprised, too. I do think Mike Smith, I see him as the go-to guy for Dave Tippett, and he kind of has been all year. What was great about last night, though, is you came on the pregame show, and we caught you when you were catching warm-ups at the rink, and you gave us the play-by-play of how it was all breaking down. You're like, well, Koskinen's taking a bunch of shots, but Mike Smith has been in that, taking a bunch of shots.
Yeah, like,
I don't
it was
know,
a
Koskinen.
Different warm-up, man. Like,
yeah.
Different
and
warm-up,
you said the guys
sure.
were hovering around the bench, which is odd for the goalies, and you know, I'm kind of glad we kept you on the line and to finally get an idea of who was starting, and that was bizarre in itself, but, I mean, we're in a unprecedented time, surely. But that was interesting. Hey, you're right. Both guys did play great. Koskinen, 17 saves on 17 shots. Mike Smith, I thought he played hard and played well as well. And you can make the case that goal that he allowed to Lindholm was goalie interference on Matthew Tkachuk. And I know there was no challenge by Dave Tippett, but I thought both guys looked razor sharp. And here's the thing about that, too. It's a good problem, which is something that's being a term that's recurring with the Oilers lately, and that's also good in itself. But both guys want that net, and they're showing it, and they're doing everything they can to try to win that job right now. And I like the demeanor of both guys right now, and Koskinen was a pleasant surprise for the first half of the game yesterday.
Oh, he was really just looked poised and calm and comfortable, and shows to me he's on his game. And it looked like a guy because back home he had the ability to be on the ice a lot. And I just wonder, you know, how much of that impacted it at all, and maybe how much that might be a reason. Who knows? Maybe he's just a little bit technically ahead because he's had more ice time. We'll see. You look at Gaetan Haas and Riley Sheahan. We're not now. He did skate yesterday. Yesterday, according to Dave Tippett, they had a day off today. They'll be back on the ice. He's expecting him on the ice on Thursday. They're not going to rush a player back if he's not healthy to start the playoffs, I wouldn't think. But what did you think of Gaetan Haas?
I didn't mind him. I mean, the good thing was he kind of picked up where he left off, and that was just being feisty, tenacious. I think he knows his limitations at the NHL level, and I think he also understands he's going to get spot duty. Yeah, we know the pecking order, and these guys are smart enough to figure it out, but he wants to get in the lineup, and I thought against the Blackhawks going into this series that maybe Gaetan Haas would be a better fit against a skilled team like Chicago that doesn't necessarily overpower you or you know, use big boy hockey, let's call it, to you know, run you out of the rink, whereas some other teams in the Western Conference might do that. You know, St. Louis has huge defensemen, obviously. Teams like that, things get feisty against Calgary, although Gaetan Haas played good against Calgary this season when he got in there against the Flames. But this is a team now that, hey, you could say, well, the Oilers kind of have a little bit of depth up front. And Gaetan Haas, a bit of an unknown coming into the season out of Switzerland, he's proving that Swiss Army knife nickname to be true. And I thought he was fine yesterday. And in the middle frame, I know the Oilers got outplayed and heavily outshot in that middle frame. It seemed like the third and fourth lines got more time on ice as well. And maybe that kind of led to the shift in momentum. But overall, to me, there wasn't a overbearing amount of grade A opportunities against Griggs. I thought they just kind of weathered the storm in a good way. And Gaetan Haas, to me, you know, if you said, hey, he's going to play in game one of this series and they're going to rely on him a little bit, I'd say, yeah, okay, because he can fill in on the penalty kill as well. He's got wheels. He's got some hands. And he's more than willing to muck it up in the corners. You know, he might get tossed around by the bigger body defenseman, but he's in there.
Philip Broberg looked like a rookie in the first period, progressively got better. He's not going to start on Saturday. They've got their sixth defenseman for sure. But, you know, Broberg, I think, piques the interest of fans moving forward. There's going to be no rushing of him. You know, I fully expect him to go back to Sweden and then maybe come at the end of the season, which could still mean 3 months left in the NHL season. But, like, Broberg, he looked more poised. I'd read some scouting reports, and I think some of the scouting reports seemed to only focus on what he wasn't doing. Because, man, things that I saw from him, he's been doing a lot of good things, way more good than bad.
That's the interesting thing about this, too, is I had heard those murmurs and whispers that people were souring on him. And I was like, what's the rush here? This is a 18 turning 19-year-old defenseman. Now he's 19 and he's here. And why are you getting down on him? This guy's just trying to figure out how to be a pro. And, you know, he comes over here. They give him an opportunity to skate with the team in training camp. And I think he wowed everybody. And you know, the thing that impresses me about him, and this is tough in-game action like yesterday for a guy like him to just hop in and do what he was doing in training camp. But whatever small windows of opportunity to kind of create his own offensive opportunities that he could, he took, and he went in there with some gusto throughout training camp, and I'm sure there was definitely some nerves yesterday. And I like the idea from the coaching staff. You got Caleb Jones that they said was banged up and couldn't go, and so you've got Evan Bouchard back there as well as William Lagesson, and those are guys that have played NHL games, and they've played in the minors, and they understand the North American game, and you have this 19-year-old defenseman who's played well in the last 2 weeks. Give him a shot. Why not give him a shot? And I kind of like that. And, you know, you brought up a good point, too, is the nine-game thing, this doesn't count against it, and, you know, because people like to bring up every angle and every aspect and overanalyze anything. I think it was a nice touch, and at least he has a taste now, Griggs, you know? Give him an idea of what this game is all about over here, and now he can kind of put it into his mind and figure out what he needs to do to improve, to become a regular in the NHL at some point.
Tom Gazzola joins us in the Chronicles on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Article coming out of Finland today. Jesse Puljujärvi, of course, had a conference call with Dave Tippett and Ken Holland. And, you know, Jesse Puljujärvi said, hey, I've grown, and, you know, it's a different coach, things there. Like, a lot of arrows now pointing maybe to Jesse Puljujärvi coming back to the Edmonton Oilers. What do you make of that?
I like that they're mending fences, that's for sure. And, you know, it's kind of funny because I had the chance to talk to Jesse last summer during the NBA Finals. We literally watched the Finals together one day, and we started talking about the team. And I asked him that. I'm like, you got a new coach and a new GM coming, and this is a fresh start. And he bluntly was like, no, I need to go to a different city, new team, try somewhere else. And he was pretty steadfast in that mindset. And maybe in a year away from the luxuries of the National Hockey League, playing at the best level with the best players in the world was an eye-opener for a young guy that maybe isn't getting the best advice from his agent, because that Marcus Leto, you know, has said some interesting things throughout the last calendar year and a bit, and you know, certainly didn't help the cause when it comes to the Oilers' relationship and the player. And it's kind of refreshing to, you know, via Google Translate and Finnish reporters, you know, helping us with that, saying that he's kind of understood that maybe he didn't make the right choice, and he's kind of opening the door to a return. But the other thing, too, is there's nothing guaranteed for Jesse Puljujärvi. If he does come back, I think he's going to have to earn it. Isn't that fair to say, Greggs?
Oh, without question, man. Like, you look right now, you've got Cassian, Yamamoto, Archibald, and Chiasson. They're all signed on the right side. Right now, you know, one of them could play the left side for sure, but you've got signed players on the left side in Nugent Hopkins, right? James Neal is under contract. Nygaard is under contract. Now, Athanasiou is an interesting one, because I don't think there's any chance he's getting $3 million on his next contract, right? He's gonna be like a lot of other players who are likely gonna, you know, Justin Schultz and other players who, yes, they're RFAs, but they're gonna have to be re-signing at a lower number. So, yeah, you're right. There's far from a guarantee for Jesse Puljujärvi. He's gonna come back and probably going to have to, you know, just earn it and work his way up the lineup.
That's probably the best route to go as well. I mean, you know, sometimes if you're just handed things, you don't appreciate them. And that's just a generality, obviously, in life. But if he came back here and they just said, you know what, we're going to throw you on the third line, you're going to play on the right side, good luck, have fun, develop yourself, and we'll help you as best as we can. I don't think that's the right way to go about it, especially when you've got a team a year removed from when he was last on it, that has all these guys that have built this thing up together to push themselves to second in the Pacific, you know, fighting for top spot in the division. This has become a better team than the team Jesse Puljujärvi left behind. And maybe he has some desperation and that desire to fight for his job. I hope so. But the other thing, too, is if they mend the fences and they come to an understanding and there's communication between the two sides, they could also find a way to turn him into an asset and flip him to another team that might be looking for a guy like Puljujärvi that would use his intangibles and does have a spot on the right side for him. It just opens up another set of possibilities, which I think is a good thing overall.
Yeah, no question. You want to have depth all the way through the organization. And, you know, young scoring forwards, I'm not saying Puljujärvi is going to be a scorer, but when you look at potential, you know, he's still a fourth overall pick. I don't think he's lost all that stuff. Might be a little bit of a late developer, which is totally fine. So I'm kind of fascinated by it for sure. Tommy, are you going to the rink tonight to watch the Vancouver-Winnipeg game?
Yes, I'm very much looking forward to this. And, you know, we have the good fortune of being able to have this whole return to play in our backyard. And I wanted to ask you about what you thought of the rink, and I know you kind of filled us in on the pregame show, and you see it on TV, and it looks pretty neat, but reading your guys' tweets last night about what you can hear from the ice is really what I'm going to be honing in on tonight between the Canucks and Jets, and obviously you want to get a sense of the pace of play and all of that, so that'll be cool. I hear it's pretty cold in the barn, too. Do I need to bring a jacket, Greggs?
Well, you should text Daniel Nugent Bowman, because he went with the short sleeve golf shirt yesterday.
Yep.
I think he was regretting that decision, right? Fairly early
glass cutters.
in the game. Yeah, glass cutters for sure. So, but he powered through. So yeah, you know, you don't need a, you know, you don't need a parka or anything, but yeah, I would recommend a jacket. It's just, you know, it's AC in there, and it's a little up high. It's, you know, and there's the fans that are right there, so it's, you know, it's like, it's not cold. It's not like your gloves or you're seeing your breath, but yeah, I would at the bare minimum, I would say a long sleeve shirt for sure, and probably like a light jacket. That's what I had on.
I think that's what I'm going to go with. So I'm glad I checked in with you. But in terms of hearing the stuff on the ice, like how clear is it? And could you basically hear whatever they were going to throw at each other in terms of verbal jabs?
You heard some of it. I don't think you hear all of it, right? The ones that are yelled out across the ice, like any time there was, a little bit of a cheap shot, like when James Neal slashed Tkachuk and got his 2 minutes worth for that penalty, there was somebody, Neeler, bleep, 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 right? And that's, hey, that's kind of an understandable. And so you saw that. It was unique to hear. You can hear the conversations with the referees and everything else. And it's also just, it's a different feel because there's like, the fans make the game so much better. And yep. Just that intensity, that excitement, the frustration, the heartache, you name it all. And that emotion is not there. So it definitely is different.
I mean, watching these games on TV nonstop, that's the one thing that you're like, yeah, there's definitely a big-time element missing. But I do have to commend the NHL for what it has done. It does look pretty sharp. It looks like a stage, if you will, and a TV set kind of thing. And it's a made-for-TV program. So I'm looking forward to getting down there and seeing it in person for myself.
Tommy, have a good one. We'll chat with you tomorrow.
Thank you, Gregor.